Well, the very patient Chelsea Tiffin II has been waiting across the table for me. Chelsea is the conductor of Baloo at Toledo Opera and also is certainly familiar to those of us who have followed the Toledo Symphony for some time.
Yes, I was here for 7 seasons as the resident conductor, and it was a very transformative period for me as a conductor to work with the orchestra, work with this community. One of the things I loved about the orchestra is, as I do about the opera, is their willingness to go out into the community. It's not enough for us to say, for people to come to us. We have to be willing to go out and reach out into the community. Yeah. And that's what both of these organizations put a great deal of stock in.
Well, Toledo Opera has done a huge amount of work in community outreach with this opera. But now that I have you in the chair, I want to talk a little bit about something we haven't really addressed that much. And that is the actual music itself by Jeanine Tesori, which the more I listen to it, the more I'm interested in it, enveloped in that sound world. She's created music that kind of like sits somewhere between musical theater and opera. Yeah. It's a really interesting combination. What do you feel about this music?
Well, she does have a great deal of work in the musical theater realm. What I love about this music is that it really supports the emotional impact of the story of the opera. It's wonderful to be working with living composers. It's wonderful to be working with Tazwell, the librettist for the opera, and to have those, to be able to ask questions and to be able to understand on a deeper level. As conductors, we're often researchers. We're trying to like, what was he thinking? And there's been many moments where I wanted to have a seance and ask Tchaikovsky, what were you thinking in this moment? Ask Mozart, what were you thinking in this moment here? But Jeanine Tesori really crafted an incredible score. The approach to her orchestration is very open. For example, to give the most stark example, she might have a bassoon playing with a piccolo player. And so it's a very open type of orchestration. Mm. The first act is one of hope for this child that's being born. And how does she create this emotion with the orchestra? And it's quite a full orchestra needed to play this in the pit. Usually for pit orchestras, they're kind of on a reduced size because of space. But she really, it's a wonderful field of sound that she creates. Also, the use of percussion, we were talking about that before we came on the air, the use of percussion and how that can add impulse and it can add color, timbre to the overall soundscape that's created here. And then we get to the second act, where if I talked about the harmonic language a little bit, it's more dissonant. We have conflict. We have a search for trying to find the resolution of how these characters can deal with the loss that they have in this opera. Yeah. And, really good orchestration, really good music. It should not be, when you hear it, you shouldn't be thinking like, oh, there's the orchestra playing. It should be added to what the text is and what the singing is. And we have some fantastic singers here with this production that I'm so excited. I think I'm meeting all of them I've met them all now for the first time. But they've really assembled a really all-star set of singers for this production.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I love your passion that you display towards this opera and towards this music. When you get on the podium, do you ever have to kind of dial it back a little bit?
I do. And I must say, this opera touches me. I think it touches everyone personally. We've all had loss.
Yeah.
I've had my loss in the last 4 or 5 years. And there are moments where I've got to dial back my emotions because I have to manage the opera and all that goes on. Those universal themes of how we... And the other thing I love about this, too, is we don't focus on the violence in the opera. We focus on the emotional aftermath that comes after. How do you deal with that? And oftentimes we see in the headlines, this happened, that happened, this happened. But it's the day after, the week after, the months after that this opera is really exploring how this family deals with loss. Yeah. I think that's much deeper and much more impactful than violence, just violence for violence's sake.
And it's more realistic.
It's more realistic.
It's not, you know, like your typical melodrama, right. So-and-so kills so-and-so, you know, this happens, that happens, and that is what is portrayed on the stage.
Absolutely.
But what you're talking about is a synthesis, I think, of the libretto, which takes a psychological point of view, and the music, which, like you talked about in the second act, which kind of loosens the threads a little bit, gets a little atonal. It reflects and works with the libretto as well.
It is atonal. It's an unusual, for me, it's an unusual harmonic language.
Mm-hmm.
But then she puts these little sprouts of tonality at just the right moment, so we can find some dissonance, resolution. Sometimes the resolution is dissonance. And as we know in life, it's not black and white. It's not just left, right, up, down. It's gray. And we may find resolution, but there's still something that may feel still unresolved. Yeah. And I think this opera reflects that.
Definitely so. But and you talk about those moments of music that, to my ear, they are really kind of catchy, you know? There's some earworms definitely working their way through the opera.
I have earworms just in my ears on this. There's certain parts of it that just go over and over. And there's a lot of transitions, sudden, stark transitions where it's slow, then it goes fast, and then it slows down, then it speeds up. And so when we have arioso moments of 4, 5, 6 pages in the score of just one tempo, where we can really lay into the beauty of the singing, the beauty of the music, the beauty of the moment, and the love that, or the emotion that she's trying to portray, to support from the libretto, it's fascinating. You know, one of the things that Tazewell talked about, he says he focuses on the music. You know, he wrote the words, but he focused on the music. And I had to go the other way. I had to focus on the story. Because music, I'm a symphonic conductor, overtures, symphonies, and that type of thing. But the storyline is the thing that I felt the least, I wanted to learn the most about. And so that's why it's been so eye-opening and so spirit opening for me to work with Tazewell, to see him explain it. It's like, oh, I didn't see it from that perspective. Oh, I didn't see this from, oh, I didn't see that from that perspective. But he really has a great way of, in our staging rehearsals, how to explain the context of things. And he's a wonderful storyteller. Yeah. Before our first rehearsal with the singers, I'm meeting them, we're sitting down, piano rehearsal, and we had Tazewell to say a few words, and he emotes stories, and he just told story after story, and what his motivation was. And that's one of the exciting things about working with opera or with vocal music, is there words. In my symphonic world, it's a lot of absolute music, and so I have to kind of almost make up a story to help me organize things. But this is already it's already baked in. So let's go even deeper if we can.
Yeah.
Hope I'm not talking too much.
No. Okay. I'm latching my ear on every word that you say. So that's wonderful. You talk about your collaboration with Tazewell, and he's also the director, obviously, of this production. And working with even the composer, you have a living composer, living librettist, that obviously is an advantage in terms of, you know, you said you can't ask Tchaikovsky what he meant,
right.
You can't ask all these long dead European composers.
Or Florence Price.
Or Florence Price, for that matter. Because they've passed on. Mm-hmm. And I think what a lot of conductors do is, instead of asking what would Tchaikovsky do, they ask, you know, what would I do? And they make it themselves.
I do that. I must say I make it work. But we, you know, that's a question we have as conductors. Is the score the Bible, where we follow every single indication, or do we add some type of interpretation to it, and how much? And there's certainly, even with opera, the vision of it and how it's presented, we see this with the traditional operas. You can see Lohengrin done in New Orleans, for example. You know, that's someone's vision of that. So how much license do we have for interpretation? But the score should be the foundation of what it comes from.
Yeah.
You know, Taz will start with a blank piece of paper. Then he adds a word, another word, another word. Or a composer starts with a blank piece of paper. They add one note, another note, another note, another note. And then the conductor, my end, we get the whole thing, and we're trying to strip away notes, strip away layers, strip away till we get to the absolute essence of the piece. And sometimes we figure out the real essence of it, and other times we don't. But there are certain pieces, and I hope I get to do this piece again sometime, because I know I'll come at it now with a much deeper understanding. And it's a lot of music. And every time you come to a piece, you find something new, and that's what makes great music great music.
Sometimes the journey is more important than the destination.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely.
Chelsea Tipton II is the conductor of Blue at Toledo Opera.
Come check it out. Yeah, come check it out. I'm going to be there working. I'm going to be working.
You'll be bringing your passion to the stage at the Valentine Theater. That's happening Friday, August 26th, Sunday, August 28th. You can find more information at ToledoOpera.org. Toledo Opera is a sponsor of programs on WGTE. Chelsea, great to see you
and reconnect
after all these years.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Toledo.
It's great to be back.
Thanks for joining us.